Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18 to 20. This morning we began to look at prayer and fasting. Or is it fasting and prayer I called it? Fasting and prayer. Which one do you like? Prayer, no fasting. Or fasting, no prayer. All right, fasting and prayer. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 28, and Jesus came and spoke unto them. When he sparked for them, what do you mean by that? What is the idiom? Rick, what about rake for them? What about tear for them? He spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or better still, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always until the very end, the end of the world. Now, in the morning, I said earlier in the morning, I mentioned that, just like I said the other day, that in the four accounts of Jesus that we have, Matthew dedicates just two chapters before he began his ministry. Same as Luke. First two chapters, pre-ministry accounts of Jesus. John and Mark don't have that luxury. Allow me to use that phrase. They just went straight from the baptism of John. And if you pay attention very well, when Judas was going to be replaced in Acts 1:20 through to 22, they said, from the baptism of John, one who was with them, who was an eyewitness of his resurrection. In other words, what is the core of discipleship is the ministry of Jesus. If you are to be a disciple of Christ, you are a disciple of his ministry. For example, if you enroll in a law firm, it's because you want to be a lawyer. Okay? If you enroll in the discipleship firm of Jesus, or discipleship school of Jesus, it's because you want to serve God. You want to preach, teach the gospel, and serve God in humanity. That's what it's about. It's not, I want to be like Jesus in my life. There's a song we sing, and I learned it years back. I think I learned that song, I shared with you on Wednesday, this song, Here I Am, I'm Only Available. There were two songs I learned that day from Ed Roberts, who sang a conference by Rick Godwin in Rhema College Church in South Africa. And he sang the song, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel. You know the song? You walk through. Let's sing it. I want to be more like you. Take it again. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to be more like you. Oh, Lord. I want to be more like you. I want to be more. I want to be a vessel. You walk. Oh, I want to be more. I want to be a vessel. You walk through. I want to be more like you. That is discipleship. A vessel he walks through. What's he walking through you? He's walking service through you. That's the account you have. Service. You don't think that now. Then we say, this evening we want to go and preach the gospel or check up on those that we had preached to. You say, I want to go for a wedding party. Now, that means you're a hypocrite. Because what it means is you place this above every other thing. That is how to be more like him. He has priorities. In Luke 9, he had one fellow says, I want to follow you. He said, birds have nests, foxes have holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In discipleship, we let go of comfort. The other guy said, well, I want to go bury my dad. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the gospel. The other one said, well, I want to go tell my folks that I'm now in the ministry. He said, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. That's discipleship, not going to heaven. And that is what discipleship is. Discipleship doesn't mean you kill your life or you have no life. It simply means you have a priority in life. And that's how it is. The same things that I did as a younger Christian that I don't share them anymore because of the tendency of people to go to an extreme what I say. I'll say that at those times I was younger, naive I could be, but it builds the sense of conviction. Sometimes I look back and I'm now more careful. Age makes you more careful. But I can't imagine someone just tells us, tomorrow we're going to Ivory Coast. I didn't have a passport. I didn't even tell him, how are we going to get there? No, I had a passport, but a passport that had my face as a baby. And there I was. And we're crossing the bushes. Crossing the bushes. He said, we have to leave now in the next 30 minutes. I won't tell you the details of what I mean. And we're going. So when I look back, I say, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking of any other thing but what we were going to do. Praise the Lord. To preach the gospel. Recently we went somewhere and someone said, Pastor, sorry for your inconvenience. I said, no, this is better. This is better than what I know. I grew up and I will never outgrow it. The ability to adapt to circumstances. I won't outgrow it in the name of Jesus. That's not growth. Say, we used to sleep on benches. Now we sleep where? In the throne room of God. No. If occasion still demands that you should sleep on benches so that the gospel will get to others, you will sleep on benches. Praise the Lord. That's it. That's it. The high point of the sacrifice or the service of Jesus was that he died. That's the high point of it. The core parts of the gospel, the crucial things, the crucial facts of the gospel are the sufferings of Christ. And we must learn that and not ignore it. And so late in the morning, we began to look at Paul's instruction. Now, before we go in there, you know, we said discipleship means to make people to learn about Christ, Matthew 2, by teaching. Now, the book of Proverbs is something I want to highlight for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, for example, verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy says, from a child you have known the holy scriptures. All right? Brethren, that is, from the time you were spiritually an infant, you had known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Then in 16 he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Then the key word there that I want to bring out, for instruction in righteousness. It brings out a core element of the book of Proverbs. That is a padaia in the Greek, P-A-I-D-E-I-A. It means to train up a child or a father-son relationship of training. Romans 6 and 4. He asks the fathers to train up their children or bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the word padaia. And you see the background of that word, training up a child, as the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is where you have that. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he will go. He should go when he's old, he won't depart from it. If you look at the book of Proverbs, it has the background of father-son instruction and training. Proverbs 3:8, my son, hear the instruction. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice you. Proverbs 1:15, my son, walks not down the way with them. You read all that in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. A father instructing a son. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Proverbs 3:21, my son, let not them depart from your eyes, keep them sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 4:1, ye children, instruction of a father, attend to know understanding. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, receive my sayings. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Proverbs 5:1, my son, attend unto my wisdom. In other words, this is a background of spiritual growth, which means that spiritual growth is not possible without instruction. Many people like the information part. Now you're a son of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, like taking chocolates. You like it. Then they say, now it's time to do right by righteousness. It's not what we do, it's who we are. If it's not, but who you are should be what you do. Except you are schizophrenia. Oh, he has schizophrenia, you have two personalities. If it's who you are, then it should reflect in what you do. There can be spiritual growth without instruction. That is what the book of Proverbs is about. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews gives that out to us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. So the book of Proverbs speaks unto us as unto what? Children. And he quotes Proverbs 3 verse 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, but faint not when you are rebuked of him. From the womb the Lord loves, he chastises. The word scourges there is not original. Every son whom he receives. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the father corrects not? Verse 8, if you are without chastening, whereof you are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. And you know, that goes into spiritual growth and development. Spiritual growth is accompanied by instruction. How does God correct us? He corrects us through the written word and through leadership he puts over our lives. That's how he corrects us. And I told you in the morning, truth sometimes is not convenient. But it is true anyway. That's how he does it. He does it by the written word and through the agency of the people that he puts over our lives. And that's why Paul will write Timothy to instruct him. And the writer of Hebrews here will say, don't forget that admonition. He's the one instructing them, but he's doing it in God's stead. So spiritual growth comes with instructions. Are there do's and don'ts? Yes. There are do's and don'ts. There are fleas. F-L-E-E in Christianity. Run. There are do not in Christianity. The instructions of a father to his son. My son, attend to my words. Incline that ear to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart of the eyes. They are life to those that find them, medicine to all your flesh. Then he says, guard your heart with all diligence. If there's something you need to do in the social media age, is to guard your heart. You don't have to read everything. Someone was asking me the other day, did you see one video? I said, how would I sit back and be watching videos like that? He said, but it's something that I said, no. I am not giving to watch what the world says about the church. I'm not giving to do that. I'm giving to know what the Word of God says about the church and what the men of God in the church say about the church. That's what I'm giving to here. But it's not good to have information generally. No, the Bible doesn't say you have information generally. The Bible says you should guard your heart. Romans 12:2 says you renew your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, but then is that not trying to teleguide believers? Exactly. is tele-guiding believers. Tele-guiding them in the way of Jesus Christ. You must guard your heart. I told you many times, there is no information that is neutral. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. That is an instruction for spiritual growth. Out of it are the issues that govern life. Proverbs 4:23. So in the morning, we began to look at Paul's instruction to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, exercise thyself unto godliness. We said the word exercise is the word gymnazo. What you do in the gymnasium, actually, where you have sporting exercises. Where you have sporting exercises. In other words, spiritual growth is impossible without spiritual exercises. You have to exercise yourself. In other words, you have to get into activity. Someone say, activity is not spirituality. So what is spirituality? Docility? Passivity? No. You can't have spirituality without activity. You cannot. Paul says you exercise yourself. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us those who have exercised themselves. Hebrews 5, 12 and 13. You exercise yourself. And we said it's from the word gymnos, which means you hold back nothing. Naked. That's what it means. You throw yourself totally to it. In fact, in that same chapter, in verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly unto them, that thy property may appear unto all. You cannot have spiritual growth without spiritual exercises. And one of such exercises is prayer. Prayer itself is an exercise. I'm not talking about the physical exertion. I'm talking about the practice of prayer. And so earlier today, we looked at the word godliness from the word Eusebia. We said Eusebia from Eusebius means what you are devoted to. You can pray, you can be praying and not be devoted to prayer. In other words, the word godliness, which is where you have Eusebia and Eusebius, is something you do regularly. You do it regularly. So I say, you know, I found out my relationship with God is gracious. God is not counting, he's not counting wrong against me. So I can even go weeks without prayer, but I know he loves me. But you don't love yourself. You don't love yourself. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. You know, when you hear things like, God is mad about you. I understand what they're trying to say, but mad is quite a word. God is mad about you. He's missing you. You know, I don't know where they get all that from, but he's missing you. When you have not spent time with him, he said, oh, I've missed you. There was someone who wrote a book years back and said that the Holy Spirit told him, I've missed you. The Holy Spirit said, you want to go and eat again? Spend time with me. And I kind of felt, where was he saying that? Was he in the laundry? Somewhere. It's locked up somewhere. It's not supposed to come out. You know, some of us feel that way. That's no. You have to be devoted to it. You don't go to church when you have a free Sunday. This Sunday, I have an appointment, no client to see. Okay, let me show up. Ah, but they will shut the door. I can't hurry to any church. And say, let me look for a church that they will line up for me. And then they say, okay, that's church. Even if I come in when the service is going on, they will still hug me. Come as you are. And you're a Christian for 10 years. You are still happy about come just as you are. And you are just as you are the day you got born again till now. All you have in your mouth is a feeding bottle. New converts have come. They don't have feeding bottles. It's you that we have to give. New converts, we can't have time to talk to them because you are having issues. Ah, Pastor Berkeley, I have to see you. I have to see you. Ah, if you want to see me in church on Sunday, you better come and see me. Someone told me that before. He said, if you want to see me in fellowship on Friday, you better come and see me. And he said, on the road. And we're just three people. That's not a threat. That's an attack. Ha! And he said, if you want to see me, you better come and see me. I need to see you. I said, when? He said, now. Now, okay, you can come later. You know, there are people like that. So I've been a Christian since the day of Pentecost. When I was in that church, they used to give me rice. When I was in that church, they gave me beans. When I get that, now this church, you just give me study school assignment. What is that? This is not Christianity. You are not even ashamed of yourself. Yoruba say something. How do I say that in English? The rope is not befitting the end. It's also befitted. Yes. Anyway, is the person pulling the end with the rope that we should say are at your age? So the truth is, some of us are spoiled brats. At this stage, you should be making disciples. They are still calling you. Hope you are not forgetting church tomorrow. Ah, that's true. What time is it again? It's 6 p.m. What time is it again? Are you not ashamed of yourself? Do they call you at your office Sunday evening that there's work tomorrow? Or is it, get late to service, to work? Is it, why are you late? You didn't call me yesterday now. Call you for what? That there's office work today. You must have applied somewhere else. But you want them to remind you about church. I didn't even come and pick you. You didn't come and pick me. That's why I didn't come to the office. Who should pick you again? The empty now? Okay. Come and pick up your letter. You are now a full-grown chairman in the job market. Go and be dictating to them there. We treat the house of God with levity. Some of us are spiritual babes. Babes. Complaining. How can you be this grown up as a Christian? Not in size. In length of Christianity. See, I didn't like the way they talk to me. How should they talk to you? Your Excellency. Believer in Christ. Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The one who was, who is, and is to come. We are about to correct you, can we? Should we? When is it most appropriate for us to correct you? When would it be suiting for you as you are led by the Spirit? First. Yet we go to places where they give us instruction and we follow obediently. Obediently. There was one time we were traveling in the evening at night. And two policemen said, stop! We stopped. They said, calm down. And they had two guns. One of the pastors in church was driving. He said, what is that? I said, what are you asking me? You better put down that key and let's come outside. You have key, he has gun. You say, what is it? And we obeyed. You come to church, they say, brother, please, you go say, why? I have two children that can burn you. And I have a God that's bigger than you. At least respect him here. No matter your age, you are not ancient of days. Even if you are ancient of days, how many days? Yes. We see rain, we go for business activities. We see rain, we go to visa interview. We see rain, we catch our flights. No, we catch flights when you are late. There was one time I was late for a flight recently. And the guy said, you are late. That thing happens to me. I will just... So I said, "Sin, check it." So the guy said, I guess you are late. I said, late? I said, except you can get in the gate. I was the race I ran that day. I don't think I ran that really long. I was jumping the stairs. Boka! I ran very fast. I know I ran fast. As I got to the gate, hello, Eddie? I said, he said, that flight, you're late. I said, but that is the plane. He said, no, the time says 9:15. I said, it's just 9:18 now. He said, I'm sorry. So I just went and I just sat down. I didn't see anything. I was going to preach. Oh, I just sat down. The people I was going to preach were calling me, looking at them. I just bought Coke, drank it once. But the thing was that I ran with his church. You'll be picking your legs like you are walking in the flesh. Say, is this Saints Community? No, it's Hellfire. Where were you coming to before? So much. The truth is, you are a spiritual babe. You have been in Christ for long. That is how you are spiritually. And that's the truth. Paul says, exercise yourself. Gumnazo. Train yourself. Train yourself to pray. Don't just be praying. There's a part of praying. There's a part of training to pray. I will never forget in my life. I grew up in the Youth Foundation Ministries where we would go for retreats. And sometimes we'll go to Fiditi. 91, 92. We'll go to Fiditi, 93. We'll go to Fiditi then. Uncle Ladele will take us there and we'll pray 3 days, 4 days. And sometimes we'll pray in the morning, take break, pray in the afternoon. So I was used to 5 hours, 6 hours vigil. So when I got to university, I joined the Rema Chapel Campus Fellowship. I was already pastoring in Lagos, but I had to be in a fellowship on campus. So I joined the Rema Chapel Campus Fellowship. So naturally, I would join the prayer department. That's the department I'm going to join. You don't have to ask me. So I joined it. And so I was sharing them doctrine. The guy liked me. Father Nash, Pastor Tayo Ladipo. He passes in somewhere in, I think Egbeda now. We used to call him Father Nash. So I joined that department. We used to pray. So they said there's one, just 2 weeks after I joined, they said there's one intercessors congress. I said, hey. I didn't know what it was. I said, I'm going. I used to pray. We got there. It was not the Fiditi experience. We're praying without stopping. You know when your wristwatch loses meaning? Keep looking at it, it doesn't have any impact. And those are the times that it seems that the clock is slow. When you are watching movies, it's fast. When you are praying, it's slow. Very slow. So I said I was going to run away. I just said, but they didn't tell me now. If they had told me, I would be prepared. They didn't tell me that it's this guy. I thought he said, did they not tell you it was 3 days? Or is it 4 days? He told you, but didn't tell me it was 3 days. I thought it was three. But not 3 days. So I just packed my bag. I was looking at how to run. I have this way I can escape a meeting and you won't know. So as I was leaving, and I said, if you stay, who are you doing it for? I said, the people there, they didn't die. And they are not going to die. And you won't die. Stay there for the thousands and millions that the Lord will send to you in the future. So I went back. I wasn't happy. Don't say, with joy. There was no joy. So we're praying. You know those prayers I pray? I say, we are still praying. I know we are still praying. You have to say it. Brother, we are still praying. They gave us one break. As we are about to sleep, one brother said he has body. I just moved away. Ah, but which body? Keep the body for 1 hour. But I'm grateful I stayed. I went for the one the year after. I'm grateful I waited. I'm grateful I was able to train myself. From then I began to go out of the house. I was doing that before. I had to now be going to mountains, going to forest to go and pray. Just to train myself. Just to train myself. I can walk 24 hours praying. 30 hours. Not that I can. I've done it many times. It's training. And I pray to God, may I never outgrow it. You get to a point, you say, ah, that was where, you know. In those days. We were sung times in diverse manners. No! It's a training for life. Train yourself. Train yourself to study God's word. Train yourself to listen to teachings and not sleep off. Why did you sleep? Eh? You listen to a teaching, you are saying, glory, 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 glory cloud. You sleep off. Someone say, even when you are sleeping, your spirit man is, what's that? Your spirit man is receiving it. Oh, you are asleep, let's see. Let's see where your spirit man will be when you are sleeping. Be awake. I told him in the morning. I went to one prayer mountain to pray. Now, I'm not asking you to go to prayer mountain. You say, that's the secret. Some people, the secret they are looking for. That's the secret. I can see. He has been hiding it from us for this. I pity you. They'll just give you candle and sponge. Let me stop there. The man said, voice, you know, they used to, I mean, he gave us instructions. Because when you camp there, they call everybody together and give you instruction about the camp. Because you all pray individually. So he said, in Yoruba, he said, before you continue, this place has scorpions and snakes. So you have to open your eyes. Don't sleep, oh. Ah. I said, what's this man talking about? He said, don't sleep, oh. You know, the Bible says watch and pray. And it was true. You'll be praying and... It's also training. You train yourself. Praise the Lord. Train yourself to study the word. Train yourself to preach. To teach. It's a training. Don't just do it occasionally. Train yourself. I told you in the morning, we thank God for parents that taught us devotion. They may not have understood many things you do today. But the practice of devotion should be encouraged. Wake up in the morning. I mean, when I was in the boarding house, we had to wake up 5 o'clock, I think, yeah? When I left secondary school, I was missing that time. Because it had become part of my life. 5 o'clock, you wake up. Have that kind of lifestyle. Paul says, train yourself to a devoted life. You don't get a devoted life just because you are born again. A devoted life comes by practice. Train yourself. I've trained myself to take notes when I'm hearing the word of God. I'm saying something I've done for about 30 years. I've trained myself that way. I've trained myself how to listen to teaching. And I can repeat what you have said to you. I've trained myself that way. I've trained myself the art of reading scriptures, praying. Hallelujah. So to me say, when you speak for long, don't you get tired? Who will not get tired? Even if you're a machine. But there's a training where you let go of the tiredness. That's it. Exercise yourself on the godly things. Because either way, I think it was Buddy Harrison that said this years ago, that either way you have given yourself over to something, It can be sleep. It can be habits. It can be gist. It can be television. It can be sex. It can be fun. The truth is, everyone is disciplined at something. You can be disciplined at indiscipline. You know, you have to see spiritual growth as coming out of discipline. Discipline. And Paul says, you exercise yourself. So we have been looking at the practice of fasting. I said fasting means to be without food. Not that you don't have money to buy it, but to abstain from food. To abstain from it. We'll come to it shortly. We said Jesus abstained from food. Matthew 4 verse 2. Luke 4 verse 2 and 3. He abstained from food. We saw Acts 13 verse 2 and 3. They abstained from food to pray. Acts 14 verse 23. They abstained from food to pray and ordain elders. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 5. Paul abstained from food in the work of the ministry. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5. Paul says couples can abstain from pleasure to be able to pray. And that includes fasting. Luke chapter 2:37, we saw how a woman devoted herself, Anna a prophetess, who was in the temple, devoted herself to prayer, fastings, and watchings for about 70 years of her life or so. Now, in the Old Testament, we are two people who naturally are the greatest reference points for fasting. One of them was Moses. And I want to pick out something for us in the two. In Exodus 34 verse 28, we find Moses, when he went up to Mount Sinai, Exodus 34 and 28, says he was there, is it Oreb now? He was there 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, by the time you see what happened when he came down to the people, you know this instance was supernaturally aided. Because you observe that the word water was added, which usually is not part of the fasting fact or act. But water was added here in the sense of water was included. This is well supernatural. Now, you have that repeated in this Romans chapter 9 and also verse 9, where he repeated it himself. I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, and neither did eat bread nor drink water. He repeated that in verse 9 and 8 actually. Nine. Now, another example you will find is Elijah, 1 Kings 19, which seems to explain a little bit, if you corroborate what I was saying about Moses. 1 Kings 19 and then verse 8. Now, if you start from verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too far for you. He arose and did eat and drink in verse 8, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the mount of God. It appears like he was supernaturally helped in that instance. And so what it means, why I said all of that is, do not do things that will hurt your health because of this. These two instances, and I believe in the case of Jesus, they were supernaturally aided. They were angels when this was happening, whether it's Exodus 34 or 1 Kings 19 or Matthew 4. As Jesus was done, the Bible says the angels of God came and ministered unto him. In your case, the person you wait upon is either your wife, your sister. And they may not be able to do what angels do. So it just makes sense. That's Matthew 4:11. And it does make sense for you not to overdrive things. Now, I've had calls, for example, of had doctors who had to cancel me to reduce the number of days I was fasting and so on and so forth. That makes sense. I'll come to that before we close. So, those examples obviously are exceptional. And you won't find Paul or any of the apostles refer to that, you know, in their own ministry. So the idea of doing 40 days and 40 nights without food at all should be well guarded. And well, one should be watchful and don't get involved in all that. Competition is needless. Because like we said earlier on, the essence of fasting is spiritual discipline. It's not a show of a CV. I've done 40 days before. No. If you do all of that, it doesn't make any sense anymore. So we said, we can take time off food to pray. Take time off food to study the word or get involved in spiritual activities. I was trained, for example, that when I have to preach in major meetings, I fast at that period. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but it's just something I was trained to do. It makes me disciplined during the meetings and makes me more attentive. Because when that goes on, I know I have to get off television, I have to get off any sort of entertainment and all that, and focus more on the word and prayer. And then it helps me naturally to be more in tune, to more prepared, and so on and so forth. And so Jesus then tells us, I've dealt with a bit of that in the first service. In Matthew 6 and verse 1, we said, for example, he began to talk about giving, and then he gives us instructions as touching fasting. The first thing he says is about giving is when you give, don't go with your phone, your cameras. You don't have to wear a shirt giving to the poor. No. When you give, he says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He says, you must do it unto your heavenly Father and no one else. I know there sometimes we have to mention what we do to be examples to the flock, but be careful you are not flaunting your records or CV to show that you are great or you've done something big. The moment you seek men to acknowledge you and applaud you, you lose God's reward. You can't have both. Or you can't seek for both, let me put it that way. So here we are, he says, don't do it for people to see you. If you're going to feed the poor, feed the poor. Don't feed the poor with cameras and pictures. You don't have to even put it on your church newsletter. We feed the poor. Now he says, also when it comes to prayer, don't pray so that your neighbors will know you are a prayer warrior. No, you don't have to. You can pray. I'm sure that you know what I'm talking about. You can pray and pray in such a way that no one knows you are praying. So he says, you must seek your heavenly Father in secret, so he'll reward you openly in verse 6. Giving to ones who need. Then he mentions prayer. And just about the time he's done talking about prayer, verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So serving can, or fasting can accompany service and ministry. He mentions prayer, then he talks about fasting. Then he says in verse 16, don't have a sad countenance. And everybody knows you are fasting. And they disfigure their faces. The word disfigure there is the word aphanizo, A-P-H-A-N-I-Z-O. It means to look sad, to look ugly. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. I'm not saying that. Sometimes you can help it. Sometimes you'll be tired and it's obvious. But do not fast for people to see. The moment you do that, it loses the reason for that activity. Then he says, when you fast, anoint your head. Aleifo. Aleifo is used generally in Bible for the use of ointment. In Mark 6:13, for the sick. Mark 6:13. In Mark 16:1 for the dead. That's Jesus' burial. In Luke 7:38, it's used for perfume. Honor, a perfume, something like cosmetics. Luke 7:38 and Luke 7:46. In John 11:2 and John 12:3, it goes both ways. In John 12:3, it's again for beauty, honor, and fragrance. In James 5:14, for the sick. So that shows you in this instance, it's talking about, you know, smelling well. What you have like perfumes today, look nice, look okay. Don't fast and then look silly, look ugly. That's what he's saying. Just dress normally. Don't appear unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret, that thy Father which sees you in secret will reward you openly. So in other words, you should see fasting as a private devotion, even when you are doing it corporately. Don't fast and but some say, well, what about if they're making meals for me and they say, are you eating? And I say no. And then they come again, are you fasting? Now when I was growing up, they used to say, we should say, thou seest. You know, thou seest. But the truth is, there's nothing wrong in saying, yes, I am. Now in that instance, you are not the one shooting out your exploits. It's a question. It's not a sin to say, oh, sorry, I'm fasting. But when you flaunt it so that men can see it, then you get your reward from what men are saying. And so what it means is, because if you're a local church, for example, and we want to fast as a congregation, we have to tell everybody, oh, we're fasting this week. We don't say, check your spirit to know when we are fasting. It will never be in some people's spirit till the end of the age. So we'll have to tell you to fast, all right? But in that instance, we still have to do it in devotion to the Father. It mustn't be done, you know, as to flaunt your CV, so that everybody in your house, daddy is fasting today, mommy is fasting today. How do they, can't you see his face? He's just frowning at everybody fasting. Do you hear it? No. So in this instance, what are we doing this for? You know, in the morning I said, you can take time off leisure, entertainment, fun. All those things feed the flesh. We know. So fasting is an opportunity to deprive the flesh of its legitimate desires and appetites. As we call self-control, self-control means to delay immediate gratification for a more noble purpose. What is self-control? Delay immediate gratification for a more noble purpose. You delay food to pray. You delay watching movies to hear the word. You delay sex to be able to pray and study the word for legitimately married people. You delay fun, generally. Not that you banish it for the rest of your life. You delay it, you put it aside, put priority in other things. That is what we're talking about. And I said earlier today, you should have moments like that in the year. I have moments in the year I fast. Sometimes I go every 2 weeks, two weeks. Sometimes I go the whole month. I just say, this month, I pick those months during the year, 30 days, I spend them fasting and praying and studying. There's no time I do a major study of the scriptures that I don't fast. There's no time that I do a major study of the scriptures without fasting. There's no time. Except some very few exceptions. There's no major conference that we have. As I prepare to pray and study, I wait on the Lord in fasting and praying. It's not something that is out of the world. It's just something I grew up with. I recall when I had very, very, very terrible sickness and disease, I fasted. Even though it was against advice, I fasted and I was healed. So I consider fasting as very vital to Christian living. Jesus did. Paul did. Consistently we saw it. And so you must give yourself to those. Besides your church, you as a person, and also as a couple, as friends, you should ask yourself, hey boy, buddy, when last did you fast? Oh, honey, when last did you fast? Sweetie, sugar, whether it's brown sugar or white sugar, when last did you fast? Those are questions you ask yourself. And of course, don't impose fasting on your children. They will hate it for the rest of their lives. Let them understand what it is and why they do it, and let them see you as a life of someone who fasts and does the right things. Can I have an amen? Amen. So it's a devotional exercise that you need to partake. Now, we said if you fast without spiritual activities, then it's an hunger strike. What about the fact that I have to go to work 8 to 5? People have asked that question before. I have to go to work 8 to 5. Well, the honest truth is this: it still works the same way. You go to work 8 to 5, find times during those periods to also fast. Of course, you enjoy your fast the more, maybe during the weekends where you are off, maybe the times where you have leave, rather than go on a vacation and go and ski. 30 days. Take 14 out of it, 15 out of it, and spend time to fast and pray. Weekends. And if you have to work throughout the day, for example, you could break your fast much later in the day and make sure that you spend time to listen to the word and pray. Let me say this like I used to say. I often tell people that most of the excuses we give, there will be someone somewhere who is in your same situation and doing what you are giving an excuse not to do. It always works like that. There will be someone with 5 children committed to Christ and to the ministry, just like you. Sometimes not with your kind of comfort. There will be someone who is single as you are and well committed and devoted to Christ. There's someone who probably has problems in the marriage or the marital situation, yet is committed to Christ and the cause of the gospel. Even people will find it to be very difficult for them to know the person has such challenges. You always have a good example of things that you gave excuses for. I know a guy who was a pilot, and I knew him then, a pilot. And he was always, he flew international airlines. And he will come back to Nigeria. He had a ministry he belonged to then that organized crusades every month. And he will come. And then the 2 weeks he always had then, or say a week or two as break, he will spend one of them on the crusade ground. Now, when he got married, I thought he was going to change. No, he got married, had kids, and he continued like that. That's a good example of someone who will be in a... You have medical doctors who will be on call duties, and they'll still find time to do what you say you could not do. So it's about priority and discipline. If you know what it does to your spiritual life, you won't give excuses for it. After all, people go for medical checkup and then they'll ask them to abstain from food for some time. Some guys will go, it's okay, for the next 1 week, make sure you just take water and take this liquid and all that. And they will adhere faithfully. People go for weight loss programs, and the kinds of things that was given to them to eat looks like the tree in the garden. The day you eat of it. And they say, in the morning, just take tomato, 1. Afternoon, water and salt. Evening, cucumber and garri, and go to bed. And you say, thank you. So why can't you apply the same, and you go to work, why can't you apply the same discipline for spiritual things? So, When you fast, spend time to pray. Obviously, Jesus spent time in prayer and study of the word when he was tempted afterwards the fast in the 3.5 years of ministry. He said, "It is written." So fasting builds spiritual stamina for us. Look at the events that are associated with fasting in the book of Acts. Acts 13, 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Acts 14, 23. They ordained those who should be elders and commended them with prayer and fasting. Two critical events. Two events of ordination, commissioning for ministry, and the men were given to fasting. 2 Corinthians 6, 5, Paul says he approved himself in ministry in verse 3 and 4 and 5 in fasting, pureness of knowledge, and so on and so forth. And so, if you look at the events associated with fasting, prayer, ministering to the Lord, ordination, waiting upon the Lord, you cannot afford not to be engaged in fasting. In fasting, we exercise self-control and discipline. We stay. Now, don't do that. You are fasting, and then you have time to go and see a movie. No, you just slow down. You can't be fasting, and then you spend time having empty gists. You wasted the activity. The activity is supposed to take your attention off natural things and focus on spiritual things. So don't just observe the motions. If you fast without prayer and study of the word, and you engage in entertainment and all of that, you're not different from a guy who attended a prayer meeting and everybody was praying and he was just walking around. Walking around. In Jesus' name we pray. He now said amen. Amen to what exactly? He wasn't praying. He was there, but he wasn't praying. You did not eat, but you were not fasting. Because if you were fasting, you will spend time praying and listening to the word. Do what Christians do. Get an MP4, iPod, or all this stuff, or even your phone. Put in a teaching of the word throughout the period and listen to the word. Sometimes in fasting, maybe a good time to have a vigil, a private, personal vigil. So, take time off entertainment, you know, and all of that. That's not the time to feed your flesh. What you're doing in fasting is putting priority to your spiritual self above your physical self. That's what you have just done. And that must be your exercise. People have said we don't have an instruction to fast. They are right. But we have examples of fasting. Jesus, the apostles, and Paul's instructions. 1 Corinthians 7 and 5 includes abstaining from pleasure, of which food is part of it. We have numerous examples of disciplined people in scriptures who took time to fast. So we have two kinds in the Bible. The first one is a private one. We read that in Matthew 6 where, and 4, 2 Corinthians 6 and 5. Paul, where privately you are fasting. I do that often. Privately I fast. Spend time to fast. Oftentimes before World Changers Conference, I do a lot of fasting before. The way I was taught in ministry is if you want to lead a prayer of 12 hours, you must have prayed the 12 hours before the prayer meeting. That's how I was taught. So I ensure that that's done. You take the time to fast. Remember, the times I spent to lay the foundation of my doctrinal persuasion the most was 95 and 96. And within that period, just one of those years, I fasted for 265 days in a year. That was a crucial period for me where I had to relay the doctrinal persuasion and the foundation of ministry. even though I'm growing up, I'm having more light, and light is coming every day, every year. I'm grateful to God. I'm still growing. But those were the most sensitive days where I had to know the direction for ministry. So I spent time. There was no crowd to talk to. There was nothing famous about it. It was just you spending time to fast. And those were important days. And I don't outgrow them. So it's good for you. If you're in ministry, you should be giving to fasting. Privately. Privately. The second one we have is what is a corporate fast, just like we are starting tomorrow. Obviously, Acts 13 is a corporate fast. And Acts 14 and 23 is a corporate fast. And of course, 1 Corinthians 7:5, corporate fast among friends. I remember the vision of World Changers Conference came to me in 1997, about November. I just taught a series in Ikorodu then. August. Manifestation of the Spirit. So I taught that series for 6 weeks. I remember that day where we couldn't use the hall, so we had to use outside the hall, and there was no light. So I was teaching, and I said this about the Holy Ghost. There should be a meeting where young ministers and those alike will spend a few days together praying and fasting, waiting on the Lord, and gathering strength and momentum for the walk ahead. In fact, that was the day I explained phanerosis as the manifestation of the Spirit, a one-time event. Town hall in Gbogbo at what's this road again? The Bayeku Road then. So when I finished teaching, I kept it. Then I spent time praying. Then in June, I think, 98, I was at Aminaway in University of Ibadan with some of my friends. And we were fasting at that period, just praying and waiting on the Lord. We had just finished a camp meeting in March, so we had some other issues we were dealing with. Then I said, guys, I sense it in my spirit that we should have a kind of retreat program for young people and ministers anyway, where we'll just spend time. I said, I noticed this, that there seems to come a generation just after now who will not be given to spiritual discipline. I said, I perceive an influx of success motivational teachings, materialism, and stuff like that, that will invade a lot of churches, and a lot of young people will lose that favor. That we need a time where we'll just spend like that regularly and dedicate, just take time of activities and spend a few days, 4 or 5 days, and pray and fast. And TJ, my friend, said, I sensed the same thing a couple of months back. Another person said it, and the four of us agreed. So in August 1998, we had the first World Changers Conference in government, Ibadan, because of that. And you know, you can see things that can come out of just waiting on the Lord. See how many years down the line? 21 years, actually 22. And look at how many churches have come out of that obedience to fast and pray. In this coming year, people are coming from different nations for a program we never advertised. Different countries, both in Asia, both America, both Europe, and all parts of Africa, for a program we did not advertise. So, let us spend our days developing ourselves to hear from God, to be sensitive to His leading and to His work amongst us. And that is why, as a church, Saints Community Church, and I perceive next year, I told you, next year is a year of, and it has begun, supernatural order. Now, one of the things we're starting out is fasting. And more times of fasting in 2019 through to 2020. And as a congregation, we need to do this together so that we're in one accord. Churches all over the world do it. And I commend them for doing it. Where we are all waiting on the Lord together. Because we have one common vision. We have one common destination in the work of the ministry. So I begin to close. I want you to consider this week and every other time we are going to fast as a period for a spiritual rejuvenation for yourself. A time of personal dedication and consecration. Don't observe the moments and motions. Like we used to say, don't just pass through the school. Let the school pass through you. Don't just pass through the period of fasting. Let the fast have effect on you. Let it change you, drop some habits. Let it bring back some things you've forgotten that God spoke to you. Let it bring back some of your old time fervency. Let the period rejuvenate you as a believer. And that has to be done. Spend this time to study and pray. But Pastor, what if I'm breastfeeding children? And I have to maybe do some things that have to do with my medical health. Well, in that instance, what you simply do is you walk up to the pastor who is in charge of any subgroup you belong to in church, from the zone to the fellowships, and just say, well, this is my state, what do I do? I'm sure they'll give you the right counsel. Sometimes it could be just, you can take some things in the middle and all that, I don't know. I guess they'll tell you what to do. But don't give excuses not to be part of it. Don't. It's for your sake. You ask for counsel, they'll guide you. No one will tell you to disobey your doctors or whatever. No, nobody's going to tell you that. But I'm sure they'll give you the right counsel how to go about it in your own case. But don't give an excuse. Brethren, the best days are ahead of us. And we cannot drop the ball. Did you hear what I said? We cannot drop the ball. It's a long haul. We cannot drop the ball. We have 30 years ahead of us, 40 years ahead of us, to keep doing what we're doing now, 50 years ahead of us. And none of those years is without times of fasting and prayer. None of those years is without vigils throughout the year. None of those years is without suffering for the sake of Christ. May I never have a period in my life where I'm not suffering for the cause of Christ. May I never have a period in my life where I'm not comfortable with comfort. And no longer the hardship that comes with obedience. That will never happen to me. I want to be available for God every time. I don't want to be available for God only in Lagos, where there's comfort, or New York, or London. I want to be available for God in Sudan, in Afghanistan, in the places where they need to hear about Christ. I will never get to a point where I'll outgrow endurance, persecution, hardship. It should be my call, my anthem for the rest of my life. That is how we serve God. We don't endure to get earthly rewards. No, we endure to the end. We obey to the end. That's why success and ministry are not words you use together. It should be success, consecration, and obedience. We're in a year of order, supernatural order, ordered by the Spirit of God. Let things come together. Let there be no more confusion in your spiritual life. Let there be no more distortion in your spiritual life. Let priorities be priorities. Let the Word of God and the will of God be priorities in your life. It's a year of order. By the Spirit of God, you learn to hear from God more. You learn to walk in the Spirit more. You learn to listen to your Spirit the more. You learn to walk in the glory of God the more. You learn to walk in patience the more. You learn to walk in the Word of God, in the will of God, in the love of God the more. It's a year of order. Order by the Spirit of God. As we look ahead, we see His plans and purposes. And we're ready to pay the price to follow it. As we look ahead, we see what He wants to do in the world. We don't follow what's in vogue. We follow what's on His heart. And we do it. You know, in some of the places I've been to the last few months, I told the people who hosted us, because we're training them for the work of the ministry, I said, don't put this in the media. Because God told us that many of the things we're going to do next couple of years, there will not be things for the media. And we told ourselves that. And we're doing that. And we ask you to pray for us. Hallelujah. To stay in the will of God and not in the limelight. If God should call you to go to a place where you'll have to fetch water from the stream to have your bath, but then eternal life will get to the house of bed, be ready to go. If God wants you to spend a week with someone who might go to hell if you don't, be ready to go. We walk in God's order. We walk in His obedience. And we do His will. This week, spend time to hear the word of God. Spend time to pray. Spend time to listen. These are the times you pick up prophecies. Prophecies that have been given to you that you have forgotten. Read them all over again. And I said, we're going to study with teachings. Making your life count. What else? Let this mind be in you. What else? Protecting the vessel, making your life count. Let this man be in you. That's between Monday and Wednesday. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we study last year's Believers Convention. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for a glorious week? And glorious weeks ahead of fasting, prayer. We're going to Believers Convention, full of the Holy Ghost. We finish that. We have miracle outreaches, crusades, prayers and fasting. Waiting on the Lord. We pray that we hit World Changers Conference to the glory of God. And once again, we're fired up. Lit up. Glory to God. Strengthened. Refocused. Re-energized. Our obedience reestablished. We keep our eyes on the ball. No distractions, no bitterness, no strife in our hearts. Just the will and purpose of God. We keep our focus. It's a long haul, but a faithful God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. As we get into this week of dedication to God's word and God's spirit.